liturgical time is kind of odd. So it's still Easter. The gospel has situated us there in the room the first Sunday with the disciples when Jesus showed up, and then the second Sunday. So we're still in that place. We're situated there, I think, so that we today might get a sense of and explore what the resurrection means to us today. So let me offer some reflections to that. Starting next Sunday, really, is what the Archbishop calls the Safe Environment Week. It's in response to the decades of clergy sexual abuse and then the church's commitment, public commitment to protect children. And so the Archbishop says, child abuse and neglect are societal problems whose prevention depend on involvement among people throughout the faith community. The theme for this year's Safe Environment Week is Serve with Love. As a faith community, we focus on the importance of God's protecting love that surrounds each and every one of his children. And remembering the words of Pope Francis, only those who serve with love are able to protect. He says, we acknowledge we must work together as a community to increase awareness about child abuse and neglect and work to promote the social and emotional well-being of children, youth, and families in a safe, healthy, and nurturing environment. And I think the gospel speaks to us in a way about that, because we can kind of remain aloof from that and say, oh, those dang priests that did this and blah, 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 and the bishops didn't do that. And what this reveals is our common human tendency to use others for our own means, to fill up the empty spaces, to bolster our fragile self-esteem. We use people to get ahead in this world. We manipulate others. And I think the gospel speaks to us. At least it speaks to me that way. So, how does Jesus approach, for example, wounded people, you and I, who do this? In the first part of the gospel today, you heard it, you know what the story is. Jesus shows up, they're afraid. Jesus, peace be with you. He shows them his hands and side, they rejoice. Peace be with you. And he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. And probably the most colossal blunder in translation occurs. And whose sins you retain are retained. This is, I believe, an application of what happens, what's said in Matthew's gospel, but that's not what the Greek says. Think about it. Thomas was not with them, and he's saying, oh, I'm not going to believe all this stuff unless I do, you know, put my hand at his side and all that. Much less Thomas were those who betrayed him and who bailed out. Did Jesus retain their sins? Did he cut them off and say, I'm going to start over. You folks are gone. No. I think what we find here is the mystery of two things, the plumbing of the depth of the disciples' not just capacity for betrayal and manipulation, but the experience of plumbing that depth in his presence as the risen Christ. What the verb krateo is translated as in the New Revised Standard Version. Does this sound like retaining sins from Isaiah 41? For I, the Lord, hold your right hand, krateo. It is I who say to you, do not fear, I will help you. Does that sound like retaining sins in the way we've been taught? Doesn't to me. Or in Isaiah 42, speaking to the servant of God, I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people. Or to the search for wisdom in Baruch. Wisdom, she is the book of the commandments of God, the law that endures forever. All who hold fast to her, krateo, will live. Does that sound like retaining sins? But the most wonderful piece is from the book of Nehemiah, where it's a story of the exiles coming back to Jerusalem. And there's a whole thing in chapter 3 about who's doing the work on the walls of the city and the temple. Uzziel, son of Haariah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs. Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs. They restored Jerusalem. They use the language of rebuilding and restoration for making stuff back together as one. And isn't that what happens with Thomas and with the disciples? That Jesus' presence was rebuilding and restorative. As only the risen Christ can do. So, what about Thomas? Two things. I don't think he's a doubter at all. He simply states a fact. Unless I see, perceive, the Greek orao, see, perceive, go deeply into, contemplate even, the wounds, I will not believe. That's a statement of fact, I think. So what happens with him there? This is a conjecture on my part. The rest of it is fact, okay? But this is a conjecture. I want to propose that what Thomas saw and what the other disciples saw in Jesus' wounds was the image of their own woundedness that had put those wounds there. They saw themselves more clearly in his wounds, which reflected their own. Precious and terrible wounds. Using people, abusing people, whatever. And in seeing that, in seeing Jesus and themselves in Jesus, that's what was redemptive. So it's not, I don't think it's just about this thing of, oh, Jesus rose from the dead. Great. Now let's go out and have a beer. You know, it's the mystery of exploration of our propensity to use others, for example, and seeing whatever drives us to that reflected in Christ's wounds, Jesus' wounds, as he says, whose sins you forgive, you as wounded human beings whose sins you forgive are forgiven. And just as you have been restored and rebuilt, go out and rebuild and restore others. For as the Father has sent me, I send you. I find that just amazing and joyful and hopeful. Because it's not about me feeling badly about. It's not the ultimate thing to feel badly and remorse and all that stuff like that. It's about saying, I see myself in your wounds, Lord. And seeing that is my redemption. And freedom from. And mission to restore others. And that's what we give thanks for in the Eucharistic prayer. That God, again, put it this way, has opened for us a back door to our private hell. In Christ, he says, come on, let's go out this way. Into relationship of restoration and restoration of others. That's a heck of a gift. So perhaps we can explore that and contemplate in Christ the mystery of his salvation in us. Happy Easter.